Hare Krishna, I welcome everybody to Bhakti Sangha Chepa conference call. Today we are very, very fortunate that we are going to have a very nice discussion on the call on the topic Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 24th chapter, 37th verse onwards. I welcome all the devotees. So anybody like to read the verse and start the call, Mataji? Hare Krishna, is there anybody who would like to read the verse, Mataji?
Okay. Yeah, Hare Krishna, Mataji. Sorry, I'm busy. I cannot read, Mataji.
Okay, Mataji. Shall I start, Mataji?
Yes, Vinaya.
No,
okay, Mataji. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके. रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम् 4th कैंटो 24th चैप्टर 37 वर्स. स्वर्ग अपवर्ग द्वाराय नियतं शुचि सदा नमः नमो हिरण्यवीराय चतुर्होत्राय तन्वे. ट्रांसलेशन. माय लॉर्ड ओ अनिरुद्ध, यू आर द अथॉरिटी बाय विच द डोर्स ऑफ हायर प्लैनेटरी सिस्टम्स एंड लिबरेशन आर ओपन. यू आर ऑलवेज विद इन द प्योर हार्ट ऑफ लिविंग एंटिटीज. देयरफॉर आई ऑफर माय रेस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस ऑन टू यू. यू आर द पोजेसर ऑफ सीमन विच इज लाइक गोल्ड एंड दस इन फॉर्म ऑफ फायर. Fire, you help the Vedic sacrifices beginning with Chatur Sotras. Therefore, I offer my obeisances unto you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The word Svarga indicates a position in higher or heavenly planetary system. And the word Apavarga means liberation. Those who are attached to Karma Kanda activities described in Vedas are actually entangled in three modes of material nature. The Bhagavad Gita therefore says that one should be above the domino of fruitive activities. There are different kinds of liberations or mukti. The best mukti is engagement in devotional service of Supreme Lord. Not only does Lord Aniruddha help fruitive actors by elevating them to higher planetary system, but he also helped the devotees engage in devotional service by dint of his exhaustible energy. Just as a heat is a source of material energy, the inspiration of Lord Aniruddha is an energy by which one can engage in executing devotional service. Hare Krishna. I'll do the Mangalacharan also, Mataji. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरन्मिलितन्येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदामयं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम्. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुं श्रीयुतपादकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवाञ्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सगणरघुनाथां तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सगणललिता श्रीविशाखाविटाञ्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते ताप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनीश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यस्य कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णभ्रष्टाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन्निति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्तदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Thank you, all the devotees for joining the call. Please go ahead and share your realization for this particular verses. Mataji's and Prabhuji's, I welcome everybody to start realizations. Mataji, Hare Krishna. Please, I know. Please, everybody start now. Sita Priti Mataji, Hindu Mataji, everybody is there on the call. Please, somebody speak. Preeti Vilasi Mataji, Shyam Gauri Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvar Pranams. Mataji, has anybody read the purport, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji, I just now read.
Oh, okay, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji.
Would you like to start your realization, Mataji?
Hare Krishna. So here in this verse we are talking about, we started off by glorifying the Chaturvyuhas, the Chaturvyuha expansions of the Lord. So we are offering obeisances to the Lord in the form of the Chaturvyuha and the presiding deities of the elements for the sake of purification. So that is what we are doing in this particular set of verses. We started off doing this from verse number 33. We started talking about the Chaturvyuha expansions. So initially in verse number 33, we saw that the glorification was, we were saying that the prayers of the Rudra Gita was that, you are the best of the self-realized, since you are always auspicious for the self-realized. And therefore, when you are offering this prayer, saying that you are the most auspicious, we are requesting the Lord to tell that, let me also have similar auspicious qualities. Again, in the same verse, in verse number 33, the prayer was that you are worshipable by the virtue of all perfect instructions that you give. So therefore, let me also have this perfection of worshipping you. Like that, they go on talking about Vasudeva, Shankarsana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. For example, in verse 34, the deity invoked was Vasudeva, and he is the deity of consciousness. And the function of Lord Vasudeva was controller of the senses and sense objects. And the purpose of the prayer that we offer to Lord Vasudeva is to make us or make my chitta or my consciousness peaceful and unchanging, and make it conscious of bhakti by revealing your beauty. We are asking the Lord. So that was verse number 34. So basically, in these four verses till, in these verses that we have seen previously from verses 30, we are seeing prayers to the first, to the Chaturvyuha of the Lord. So first we saw for Vasudeva. That was verse number 34. Then in verse number 35, there's a prayer to Shankarsana. Shankarsana becomes the master of all integration. Vasudeva was all-pervading. Shankarsana is the Lord of all integration. But he is the deity of false ego or Ahankara. Vasudeva was the deity of the consciousness, right? Like that, Shankarsana becomes the deity of the false ego. And what is the function of that deity? He is the master of all disintegration. Or rather, he is the destroyer of the entire universe. And what is the purpose of offering that prayer to Lord Shankarsana in verse number 35? We are asking, bind my possessiveness only to the Lord and my ego to my true identity as his devotee. So that is the prayer that we offer in verse number 35. Then we also offer prayer to Pradyumna immediately. So Pradyumna is responsible for the universal growth. Just like how Shankarsana was responsible for integration and Vasudeva was all-pervading, like that Pradyumna is responsible for universal growth. And he is the deity of intelligence. Pradyumna means intelligence. And being the deity of intelligence, his function is the one who enlightens the entire universe. So our prayer is that we are asking Lord Pradyumna to wake up my intelligence so that it will situate in bhakti. That is what we ask. Next, we speak about Aniruddha. That was the previous verse, which is verse number 36. We are calling out to Lord Aniruddha. If you see, the previous verse was Namo Namo Aniruddhaya Hrishikesha Indriyatmane Nama Paramahamsaya Purnaya Nabhratatmane. This was the verse offered to Lord Aniruddha. So what are we doing there? Aniruddha is the supreme director of everything, and he is the deity of the mind. So we saw already consciousness was covered, ego was covered, intelligence was covered, and now we are invoking the deity of the mind, who is Aniruddha. And what is the function of that deity? He is the director of the mind, which is actually the chief of the senses. That's why it says Indriya Hrishikesha. So the chief of the Indriyas is the mind, and the mind controls all the senses. So therefore, he is considered as the chief of the mind. The mind is the controller of the rest of the senses. So like that, we are invoking Lord Aniruddha, who is the controller of the mind. And the purpose of the prayer, if you see the purpose of the prayer that is being offered there, is we are requesting the Lord to attract our minds to the Lord's lotus feet through bhakti and keep it in a perfect state of cleanliness. So through bhakti, we are asking the Lord, please attract my mind. So therefore, we say, oh my Lord, Supreme Deity, Aniruddha, you are the master of the senses and the mind. I offer my obeisances to your lotus feet again and again. So like that, we are calling out to Lord Aniruddha. So now, after purifying the four components of the chit, that is the subtle senses, which is the consciousness, false ego, intelligence, and mind, by worshipping the respective four deities, which is Vasudeva, Shankarsana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, now the prayers turn towards offering respects towards the Lord in the form of the presiding deities of the element. So you will see that in the future verses that they are trying to offer obeisances to the deities who are expansions of these four: Vasudeva, Shankarsana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. These four have expansions. They are further presiding deities of the different elements. So that is what happens from this verse 36-37 onwards. So you see, again, the same Aniruddha is invoked. Okay, but in what sense is he invoked? He is invoked. So he is invoked because he is the one who constantly nourishes the jiva. An expansion of Aniruddha is actually invoked in this verse. Aniruddha, who rules over the eye actually, because he is like gold in the form of fire. Because because there is fire, one can see. So therefore, what happens in this verse is they are again invoking an expansion of Aniruddha, and they are telling that he constantly nourishes the jiva. It says Nabhrita Atmani. Nabhrita Atmani means one who constantly nourishes the jiva. Yeah. And also he is responsible for the doors to heaven, which is Swarga Aparga Dwaraya. So Swarga and Aparga Dwaraya was the first phrase of the sentence of the verse today. So heavenly planets and the path of liberation. So if one desires to go to the heavenly planets or achieve liberation, it is possible through worshipping this expansion, is what this verse is saying. So therefore, you are responsible for this. So the prayer is that may my eyes be purified to see this form of the Lord. It says Swarga Apavarga, which is heavenly, and liberation. Dwaraya, you are the door eternally. Suchi Sade. So you're asking, may I be purified? Suchi Sade. And paying obeisances, Namaha unto you. Hiranya, gold. Viraya, Seaman, Chaturhotaya. You are yourself, the Vedic sacrifices personified. Therefore, you're expanding like that. So this is what the verse is saying. Someone else can further take over. Lalitangi Mataji, do you want to continue? Or anyone else?
Mataji, thank you so much for the wonderful, spontaneous summary of what we did till now. And very nicely you brought many points in this verse. So I would just like to talk about the Apavarga and Swarga part. The first two lines of the purport, it says, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, the word Swarga indicates a position in the higher or even heavenly planetary systems, and the word Apavarga means liberation. Those who are attached to the karma kandiya activities described in the Vedas are actually entangled in the three modes of material nature. The Bhagavad Gita therefore says that one should be above the dominion of fruitive activities. So, as he mentions here, Swarga indicates a position in the higher planetary system. So what does that mean? So whatever we are trying hard to accomplish here, there it's easily available. For example, you know, we have heard many descriptions of the planets, the people in the Swargaloka, they live for long, and they are always youthful. Death is not as painful as this, and you know, there is no karma or work that they need to do to earn money, to keep things together. You know, everything is kind of more subtle. The houses fly, and where the houses go, like, you know, every different every day the houses can be in a different scenery. And you know, so whatever we are trying hard, like in this world we try hard to make a family, to settle, to have a house, to have a car, everything is available there. So how a person goes there? By performing proper activities, karma kandiya activities, and by amassing a lot of punya. And so punya means a lot of sense enjoyment for which a person is duly deserves that by his pious activities. And but that amount of enjoyment is not available here in this planet. So you go to the Swarga planet, and then there the life is long, and we can see that there is also a verse in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam where when describing Bali Maharaj's conquest of the heavenly planets, that how the heavenly planets is almost kind of no misery, but the word almost is important. The standard of life is fully enjoyment only. So there is no rules of, you know, that you marry someone and live with that. That's also not there. That's why we see that Agni, you know, carrying someone who's a bride fully decorated, is attracted to that. Because for the heavenly beings, these are not the restrictions there. So, you know, from here we look at them, their act with abhorism, but that was not the restriction there. So Aniruddha engages oneself, a person in the karma kanda activities, so that they get promoted to the swarga planets. Also the end of the purport, for devotional activities also, Aniruddha is the source of inspiration of energy. So, but then there is another called apavarga, or liberation. So what is the problem in swarga? Because whatever we want, we aspire for, it looks like it is there. But then in chapter 6, when Arjuna asks, what happens to a person who has not attained perfection, Krishna says that after reaching the heavenly planet, those souls who have, let me read the exact word. Yeah, 6.41. Prapya punya kritam lokan ushitva sashvati samaha suchinam srimatam gehe yoga brashto vijayate. That's not the verse. That says that the unsuccessful yogi, after many years of enjoyment on the planets of pious living entities, is born into a family of righteous people or into a family of rich aristocracy. Which means that the place of the position there in the heavenly planets is not permanent. Again, he says in one more verse, Shine Punya Lokam Vishanti. Then after the punya is over, they again fall down in the Martya Loka, or the planet of death. So why aim for something so hard, following all the rules and regulations, and getting to enjoy something, but that's temporary? So an intelligent person would try for apavarga. So that's why Krishna repeatedly discourages following the karma kanda portions of the Vedas and going for ultimate liberation. So what is ultimate liberation? That whatever is there in the swarga loka, that continues forever. A brahma bhuvana loka punaravartino arjuna. From brahma loka down to patala loka, again and again it's places of misery. It only depends on how long you stay. Maybe we stay here less, and in the swarga loka it is more. But there is no question of staying anywhere permanently. But he says, Maam upetyatu kaunteya punarjanma na vidyate. So when you come back to me, there is no question of punarjanma. And when there is no janma, there is no question of mrityu, jara and vyadi. That is birth, death, old age and disease. So that is apavarga. So again, there is so many verses that says this. One of the verses, 2.45, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna Nirdvandvo Nitya Satvasto Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. The Vedas deal mainly with the subject of the three modes of material nature. O Arjuna, become transcendental to these three modes. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the self. So in the purport, Prabhupada writes, all material activities involve actions and reactions in the three modes of material nature. They are meant for fruitive results which cause bondage in the material world. The Vedas deal mostly with the fruitive activities to gradually elevate the general public from the field of sense gratification to a position on the transcendental plane. Arjuna, as a friend and a student of Lord Krishna, is advised to raise himself to the transcendental position of Vedanta philosophy, where in the beginning there is Brahma Jignasa, or questions on the supreme transcendence. all the living entities who are in the material world are struggling very hard for existence. For them, the Lord, after creation of the material world, gave the Vedic wisdom advising how to live and get rid of the material entanglement. When the activities for sense gratification, namely the Karma Kanda chapter, are finished, then the chance for spiritual realization is offered in the form of the Upanishads, which are part of different Vedas. As the Bhagavad Gita is a part of the fifth Veda, namely the Mahabharata, the Upanishads mark the beginning of the transcendental life. So, Srila Prabhupada makes this point in the Bhagavad that the Bhagavad Gita therefore says that one should be above the dominion of fruitive activities, and then one should begin the life of transcendental life leading to liberation. And someone can say about different kinds of liberation and what is the best kind of mukti that he talks later. Thank you, Mataji. I'll stop here.
Thank you, Lalit. Thank you, Mataji. Anyone would like to go ahead? But actually, thank you, Mataji. That verses from the Bhagavad Gita that you quoted will be very helpful for proper understanding. Thank you so much for dealing with it in great detail. And can anyone continue from where Lalitangi Mataji indicated? But Lalitangi Mataji, can you also say once more from where to continue, so that everyone knows?
Maybe I can do a little bit. So Prabhupada says that how it is useless to go to Swarga through fruitive activities. So one should be done with it and try for liberation. And that is the beginning of spiritual life. And there are different kinds of liberation. We know that there are different kinds of liberation. If anyone wants to add, what are the kinds of liberation that we know and what is the best liberation?
Thank you, Lalitangi Mataji. Anyone would like to continue from there?
Yeah, there are five types of liberations. Sayujya Mukti is like somebody sitting on the chair and you are just pulling that person down and going to sit on the chair. It's like merging into impersonal Brahman. It's like many people, they just don't want the miseries. That's why they want this kind of liberation, and they don't have to do any kind of services in this liberation. So it's called Sayujya Mukti. And another one is the Salokya Mukti. Means you will get to stay in the same planet where the Lord is staying. And Sarupya means it's like you will get the same form as the Lord has. So in Vaikuntha planet, everybody is looks like Lord Vishnu only. So we know when Vishnu Rutas came to take Ajamin, he was Yamadutas came to take him, and Vishnu Dutas also came. So they all were looking like Vishnu only. So in Vaikuntha, everybody looks like Vishnu only. Now this sense is like the original Vishnu has the Sri Vatsa mark on his chest. And third one is Samipya, means you will stay close to Lord all the time. So that's Samipya. And one is Sashti. So I don't know about that. Maybe
opulences.
Yeah, you will have the same opulences which Lord has. So that's it. Mataji, you can take over, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Would anyone like to continue from there, further speaking about liberation? or if you're inspired to say anything on the words, the translation or the word-to-word meanings.
Hare Krishna Mataji, can I add something, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji, please go ahead.
From what I understand, Srila Prabhupada is trying to emphasize here that there may be many different kinds of mukti, like what Mataji mentioned, but a devotee must always aspire for the highest form of mukti, which is the devotional service unto the lotus feet of the Lord. And this is what, when Lalitangi Mataji explained the first two words, like Swarga and Apavarga. So Swarga is for the fruitive, active workers who want to enjoy more sense of gratification. And Apavarga, like Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains in many of his lectures, is free from all this Pavarga. And Pavarga is the Papha Babhama, which Srila Prabhupada explains as Parishram, Bhaya, then Vyatharta, Ma's Mrityu, like that. Paini is one. Like, so he says that these are all, the symptoms of anxiety, basically, like too much of endeavor. And because of too much of endeavor, you have fear that will you achieve the goal? And things like that, or painy, like your mouth, you're drooling literally like that, So this is what we have to transcend to come to the platform of Apavarga, which is like actual devotional service unto the Lord. So here Srila Prabhupada is trying to remind us that we need to get over these fruitive tendencies, which will actually more entangle us in Maya. And to get rid of this fruitive tendency, the best way is to offer devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And like it was described in the previous verses, the Lord Aniruddha, he can be pleased with all our prayers to him, like that. Like now Lord Shiva is offering the prayers to Lord Aniruddha, who is an expansion of Krishna here. So he can help in two ways. One is to get rid, of our, or to satisfy our fruitive mentality and promote us to the higher planets. Or the other more pleasing way to Lord Aniruddha would be to actually request a humble devotional service to Krishna. So he can award both of these. And there is also a mention of the sun here, or was it in the previous? Maybe it was in the previous one. Okay, yeah, he's also comparing his inexhaustible energy to that of heat. Elsewhere, I think it was described like how the sun, it actually helps in. I don't know if Preeti went over it and I'm repeating it. But anyways, how the sun actually helps with evaporating all the water and then gives it back as clouds and rains so that, a person can get his grains and, that kind of sustenance. So similarly, Lord Aniruddha, he actually can fulfill the desires of the fruitive desires of the living entities too, like that, if they want to go to higher material planets. But also at the same time, he can award devotional service to the devotees who are aspiring for it. Thank you, Mataji. I will stop there.
Wow, that was very nice, Mataji. Thank you so much. Very covered everything. Thank you. Thank you very much, Sukh Sabri Mataji. Anyone else would like to add to this? Speak about the topics that were spoken. Yes, go ahead.
Is somebody want to talk, Mataji? Somebody else also?
Hare Krishna. Yes, thank you all so very much. All of you, it's been incredible to hear what you're saying. Is it appropriate to ask questions now, or should I wait until the end?
Maybe a few more minutes till everyone expresses their points, and then we'll have
question
and answer. Just like 10 more minutes, 5, 10 minutes.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Thank you
thank
so
you.
Much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Yes, go ahead, Mataji.
Yeah, Mataji, yeah, here in the verse it says about Svarga. So where when we go to that higher planetary system, we might enjoy there, and we might be happy. But at the time of the annihilation, everything will go, and then you have to again fall here. Again, you know, we have to suffer everything. So even though if we are behind, like people who are like behind the karma kanda, like practicing the activities on good and bad, or like some results, expecting some results out of it. So they keep on entangled. If they keep on trying to do those activities for the results, either it is good or bad, so we have to come back again. But when we keep Krishna in our life as a center, and when we try to offer everything to Him, so that way we are not having any good or bad credits, so we don't have to take again birth here. So that way we'll reach to Krishna. If we go to any other planets, that we'll come back again and we'll suffer, right? So that's what I was thinking, Mataji. Just want to add those points.
Very nice. Thank you so much, Vinita Mataji, for adding that. Yes, very true.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam.
Yes.
Dhanvat Pranam to all Vaishnava.
Go ahead, Mataji.
There is a sixth type of liberation. One is Sahajya. Sahajya with the body of the Lord means merging into the Brahmana effulgence of the Lord, SB 1.9.42. Then the second is Slokya, descending on the same spiritual planet at the Lord, mean that after a material liberation, one is promoted to the planet where the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides, SB 2.7.49. The third is Sahajya, means attending a four-handed form, ecstasy like that of the God, that of the Lord, please forgive me, SB 2.7.49. The fourth is Sarthi, means attending occupants like those of the Supreme Lord, SB 2.7.49. And fifth is Samipriya, means remaining an associated of Supreme Personality of Godhead, SB 2.7.49. The first one is explained that the worshipable object of Bhishma Deva in Lord Shri Krishna as a Partha Sarthi, and that of the gopis is the same Krishna is Krishna in Vrindavana as the most attractive samsrudha. Sometimes less intelligent scholars make a mistake and think that the Krishna of Vrindavana and that of the battlefield of Kurukshetra are different personalities, but for Brahmadeva, this misconceptions is completely removed. Even the impersonal object of destinations is Krishna as the impersonal Jyoti. And the yogi's determination of Paramatma is also Krishna. Krishna is both Brahma Jyoti, Krishna is both Partha Sarthi also, and Shyama Sundara of Vrindavan also. But in his impersonal features, he is neither in the Brahma Jyoti nor in the Paramatma. Great Mahatmas like Bhishma Deva realized all these different features of Lord Shri Krishna, and therefore they worship Lord Krishna.
knowing him as the original of all features. Dhanvat Pranam, Hare Krishna.
Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Mataji. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing so nicely. Thank you for sharing about all the features of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. Anyone else would like to add to the discussion, please? We have many callers, so please feel free.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam, all glory to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Can I ask something?
Yes, go ahead, Palika.
Yeah, Mataji, regarding, we were talking about the different forms of liberation. So just wanted to, this thought came to my mind that how Prabhupada says that the power of devotional service is so strong, it's so powerful actually, that even liberation is standing like a maidservant, you know. Please accept me, please accept me to a devotee. But for devotee, liberation is so insignificant that he doesn't even care about it. And he just wants to only serve and please the Lord in each and every form. So that kind of mood is what Prabhupada is inspiring us to all have. And this, all the as Vinita Gandharvika Mataji mentioned about how, you know, karma kanda process, we do different things to please the different demigods so that we can enjoy in the swarg loka. But a little knowing that when we are doing all this, the destruction can come anytime, and all that, even if you have good karma, after a certain time, those good credits are going to end, and definitely you're going to fall down. And even if you are going as a Jnani Yogi Maga also, you may aspire to become liberated and merge into the Brahman. But what is the point? When you merge into the Brahman, you are basically, the soul is completely not doing anything at all, and you are in a kind of a completely like a vacuum area. So, and we know that soul is always active, needs to always serve and please the Lord. That is its natural constitution. So therefore, despite all the austerities they would have done, they would definitely fall down in this material world. So the only path which seems to be difficult, but it can be easy if we make it easy that way. So is to be in the path of the Bhakti Yoga. And that is the one which is a foolproof method, the only method by which we can go to the Golak Vrindavan, which is our ticket. The beads are, everything finally boils down to our chanting actually. All these things which Prabhupada is mentioning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, I think everything boils down to our sincere chanting. How tentatively we chant the names of the Lord, and that will take us back to Godhead. Sorry, Mataji, I don't know.
Hari Bol. Thank you so much, Mataji. That was so beautiful. Thank you so much, so much. Very nice. Summarized the real goal of life. Thank you. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Can I add a point?
Yes, Swaminanda, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji, we read Srimad Bhagavatam 10.4.4 and during our Chaitanya Charitamrita class. And there, after the Brahma Bhimohan Leela, Brahmaji was saying that, my dear Lord, devotional service unto you is the best path for self-realization. If someone gives up that path and engages in the cultivation of speculative knowledge, he will simply undergo a troublesome process and will not achieve his desired result. As a person who beats an empty husk of wheat cannot get grain, one who simply speculates cannot achieve the self-realization. His only gain is trouble. So this is, and we also discussed about the how Vishwamitra, he was trying so hard. So the result is, one thing is result is temporary, and the other thing is the path itself is so difficult. If somebody would have told me that you have to do so many things and then a single mistake will bring it to zero. Unlike our devotional service, they say that, you know, it does not go away. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, even little bit, it takes you a long way. So So that's an encouragement to for a person to start that process of knowing yourself, knowing Krishna and our relationship with the God. But then if somebody would have said you have to give up food and, you know, go somewhere, leave your family, that it's the process itself is also difficult. Not only the result is there, it's very lucrative, it is very attractive, but it is temporary. That is one disadvantage. The more before that, to start itself, is it is so difficult. That, and we see the story of Vishwamitra, how many times he fell down, the entire whatever tapasya, whatever sacrifices you were doing, it went back to zero. Again he had to start again, and then unfortunately or fortunately, we have so less time, we cannot do that. So it will, God knows how many births it will go, and then again if you fall down within same birth, it will go to zero. If you die, it will go to zero. So for everything, it is more going to zero than the chances of becoming successful to get those liberation, which you all, Matajis, were talking about the liberation and the result. But the path itself is also very difficult. That was what I was feeling, Mataji. Thank you.
Hari Bol, yes, 100% true. Very nicely said, Mataji. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that. Anyone else?
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Yes.
It was all wonderful realization by so many people. It instantaneously you all came up with so much of realization. So amazing that you know, the Bhakti Yoga Bhakti Japa group is able to inculcate so many thoughts in everyone's heart. I thought I'll share a few points from what I can think of. First of all, a very nice description of all the liberations. Here what reminds me is about the Dhruva Maharaj liberation. You know, when Dhruva Maharaj was about to get liberated, an airplane came and he was taken, you know, by the airplane to various, you know, as the airplane was going to various planetary systems, you could see, you know, various planetary systems, higher planetary systems such as Swargaloka and other various planets, right? So basically everyone is not going to be able to reach Krishna Loka depending on the devotional level one has. So some people might reach Krishna Loka, some people reach various Vaikuntha planets. And if one is not 100% in their devotional service, devotional attitude and service and everything, then they may not reach the Krishna Loka. So if we are depending on the level, sometimes we can get attracted by the other planetary system. So on the way to liberation also, it is quite possible that, you know, we see all those planet and especially Swargaloka, we can get attracted by various opulences that are being available there, you know. But our objective is not to get attracted by Swargaloka. So we can, on the way to liberation, we can actually fall down again to the higher planetary system. So, but our objective has to be to reach the Krishna Loka. So we were aspiring for the highest liberation. So our devotion service should be in such a way that we should aspire for that and not get attracted by other opulences. So that's my thinking on all these points, and hope that is in line with the verse here. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Radha Damodar Prabhu. That was very much in line, and thank you for making that very important point, because we are also distracted. And yes, we should be aware of this point, that any time the distraction can come, and we should be very careful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for describing this. Hare Krishna. Is there anyone else?
Yeah, Tipani Mataji had some question, I think.
We'll start questions? Okay.
Yes.
Tipani Mataji, you can start.
Hare Krishna, thank you. I have a couple of questions. One of them is, as devotees, is it appropriate to us to, can we pray directly to Lord Aniruddha to help us engage in devotional service? Is that appropriate? Or I just know for myself personally, I often, you know, pray for devotional service, but I sometimes feel like I'm not qualified, you know, to pray directly to Krishna, and sometimes I pray to Srila Prabhupada, and so I was just wondering if it was appropriate for us to pray to Aniruddha.
Anyone would like to answer that question?
Well, I have some thoughts about it.
Hi, Bol.
Yes. Hi, Krishna.
Yes, Master.
So, Masterji, in the second canto, the first chapter, it describes about the name of the Lord. So, in that, like, I was just recently, yesterday, listening to this class, and it says, this is my just understanding, maybe not very thorough with it, but then in this universal form of the Lord, it is very explained that according to the four divisions of the universe, like the Tal, Patal, Vital, all those things, it is said that the Lord's body parts are explained in that, like how the foot, the ankle, the lower leg, the thigh, all these are like these are explained in which the lokas that they are explained. And in the class it was said that if we are going to offer our respects to that deity which is there specifically to that part, then it is going to directly please the Lord. So that means if we are it was explained to the eye, it is the Sun Lord. And the that is the eyeballs which are there, they are the Sun Lord. That is the reason, like when we explain that we need to see something, we need the sun. Like in Ayurveda also it is explained that when you have some malfunctioning of some part of the organ, that means that that deity of that organ or that part is not very happy with you, in just in two terms. So I feel like if we are going to please the Lord, we also have to please the subordinates of the Lord, because the limbs of the Lord are considered, so the limbs of the Lord are the all the other demigods which are there. So if we are just like along with Mataji's question, if we have to praise the other Lord, the Lord is not going to definitely be annoyed with it. So this was just my understanding, Mataji, please add more to it. I don't know if I have right to explain more.
Thank you, Sita Priti Mataji. Yes, and these are directly the Lord's expansions themselves, Shankar San Pradyumna Anirudha. Yes, I don't see any harm. If we want to strengthen the mind or intelligence before speaking, many devotees, they offer this prayer, Namo Namo Anirudhaya. I think that was the previous verse. Many devotees, they do offer that prayer. Though our focus is on bhakti and we are devotees of Radha Krishna, when we want to strengthen a particular faculty, there is no harm in offering prayers. This is the previous verse was a very famous prayer that is offered by many devotees before giving class to strengthen the mind and intelligence. Thank you, Sita Priti Mataji. Thank you so much for that input. And Gaurangi Mataji, you also wanted to speak. Thank you, Tiffany Mataji, for the question. And Gaurangi Mataji also wanted to add to the question, so she can.
Hi, Krishna. Is this a thought that occurred to me? Well, in response to what was just said, any limb of the Lord is equal to the Lord because he is absolute. So to pray to one part of the Lord is to pray to the complete Lord, you know. Every potency of the Lord is available in every part of the Lord. So that was one thing. But the main thing I wanted to say was that, you know, Aniruddha, Prajumna, you know, they're all expansions of Krishna. They're all contained within Krishna. And so there's, I think, no need to distinguish, you know, should I pray to Krishna directly? Should I pray to Aniruddha directly? Should I pray to Prajumna directly? They are all aspects of the same one person. And then also Lord Chaitanya is instructing us to chant the Maha Mantra. The Maha Mantra, as a manifestation of Krishna, contains all of his plenary portions. So we're actually being instructed by Lord Chaitanya to appeal to Krishna directly in this way. That's the Yuga Dharma. So, you know, there cannot be any harm in, it cannot be, you know, there can't be any less potency in following Lord Chaitanya's instructions. Well, that was
yes, Mataji.
What came that to me.
Yes, that is very, very true. The Maha Mantra has everything. Yes, when Krishna is pleased, everything is pleased. Yes, Mataji, that is true. That is true. This is only if someone has a particular inclination to offer a prayer to strengthen their mind. But otherwise, whatever you said is 100% correct. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, to say if a person has not yet come to this realization of the Maha Mantra and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, if they have not yet come to this understanding, then of course no harm, you know. This is, but you know, once you understand that, you know, what Lord Chaitanya is offering is the highest, you know, then why accept something less? Anyway, okay.
Thank you.
Hi, Krishna. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I also, the other question that I had was in regard to, you know, what Shamagauri Mataji and Vrindagopika Mataji shared about the five types of liberation. And I was kind of trying to distinguish for myself more about the difference between Swarga and the Vaikuntha planets, and trying to understand. So Swarga is basically where the Karmakandis would go, but Vaikuntha planets are spiritual, and naturally, of course, for devotees, our goal is to go to Goloka. But I was wondering about the other Vaikuntha planets. Again, they're spiritual, right? Not Swarga, so to speak.
Yes, they're spiritual.
So, okay.
Yeah, they are spiritual, and the others, that is Sarupya, Samipya, Sarshti, Salokya, all those are attained in the Vaikuntha planets.
Okay.
Sayuja is merging, which we don't want.
Aishya Mukti is like a
merging.
Personal Brahman. And other Muktis are like, you know, you go and actually stay with Lord. So they are also like a devotional service, like whatever devotional service we do here, we do there for Lord. And the Sayuja Muktis we don't want because it's merging into impersonal Brahman.
Yes. And then in the forms of the Lord and the Vaikuntha planets are the Narayan form, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Matajis, for everything. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you all so much. And If there are no questions, then I think we are waiting for Navadvipam Parikrama. Namta Mataji is waiting to start. But however, if there are no questions, then we can... Shyamagauri Mataji, you want to take... and Namta Mataji, you want to take over?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, thanks to everyone.
Yeah. Thank you everyone for having such a nice group discussion today. And we will go for Navadvip Mandal Parikrama now. Mataji, are you ready?
Yeah, Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yes, Mataji, we can start. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare.
So we are reading from book Shri Navadvip Parikrama. This book is by His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Swami. And yesterday we just had the overview of the Parikrama, and today we are going to start with Shri Antardweep. And let's see how much we can complete today. It's quite a lot. So I'll start. This island represents Atmanivedanam, full surrender to the Lord. Antardweepa is the central island of Navadvipa, situated on the eastern banks of the Ganga. The circumference of this island is 10 miles. Antardweepa is the first island visited during the Navadvip Dham Parikrama. Yogpeet, where Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared, is located here. Antardweepa is compared to Gokula Mahavan of Raj Mandal, where Lord Sri Krishna took birth. Places to visit on this island are Yogpeet, which is birthplace of Lord Gauranga, Srivas Angan, Sri Advaita Bhavan, Sri Gadadhar Angan, Sri Chaitanya Math, Bharadwaja Tila, Murari Gupta Shripata, Sridhar Angan, and Nanda Acharya's house. In Navadvip Bhav Taranga, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur glorifies Antardweep as follows. In the center of eight islands that are like eight petals of a lotus flower is the ninth and best island called Antardweep, which is exceedingly beautiful. In the middle of that island rests the Yogpeet. Upon seeing the place, I shall experience profuse bliss. The scriptures sing of transcendental place called Brahmapura. In that realm, Mayapur shines before one's eyes, freed from illusion. Identical with Sri Gokul in the forest of Mahavan, in Raja, and vastly superior to all other places in creation, that place is where the son of Sachi performs his eternal pastimes. The abode of the Gopas and Gopis in Raj, named Sri Gokula, is the same as the abode of Brahmana families in Navadvip Dham. In the center of supremely purifying Mayapur is the radiant home of Jagannath Mishra. This is the eternal residence of the Lord. One whose eyes are covered by material illusion sees only a small house situated here, as well as some ordinary earth, water, and a few articles. But if Maya becomes merciful and lifts her covering, then one sees a grand spiritual dwelling. Here, Sri Gauranga is served by his eternal mother and father, as well as by male and female servants, who are all incessantly maddened with ecstatic love. Here, both his wives, Lakshmi Priya and Vishnu Priya, eternally serve the Lord's lotus feet. He manifests in a wondrous form, complete in the five features of Panchatattva, the residence of Sri Nityanand Prabhu, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, and Sri Vasa are shining here and there in different places throughout Mayapur. Indeed, the homes of innumerable devotees are glowing in all four directions. May such a Mayapur be merciful unto me. Now, why is this island called Antardweepa? Antardweepa was previously known as Atopur. 5,000 years ago, Brahma came here to worship Lord Gauranga. Once 500 years ago, Ishana Thakur took Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Ramchandra Kaviraj on Navadvip Parikrama. Very early one morning, Ishana Thakur brought them here and gave them the following explanation as to why this place is called Antardweep. During Dwapar Yug, Lord Sri Krishna was displaying his pastimes in Raj. Everyone, including Brahma, was bewildered by the illusory energy of Lord Sri Krishna. Once in Vrindavan, when Lord Krishna, along with his friends, was grazing calves in the forest, Brahma decided to test whether Krishna is God or not.
By his yogic power, Brahma stole all the cows and cowherd friends of Lord Sri Krishna. But Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, immediately knew what Brahma had done. Lord Krishna wanted to teach Brahma a lesson, so the Lord instantly created from his own transcendental body exactly the same number of calves and cowherd boys. Thus, Lord Sri Krishna destroyed the pride of Brahma. Defeated by Lord Brahma realized his mistake, he understood that he had committed a great offense at the lotus feet of the Lord and so offered prayer to the Lord and begged for forgiveness. Lord Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, excused Brahma, but Brahma was not yet satisfied. He thought to himself, because of my elevated position as Brahma, I am very proud. Therefore, I have been deprived of Krishna Prema and enjoyment of Krishna's sweet Vrajalila. This position of Brahma is useless. If I would take birth as a cowherd boy, I would very easily be able to serve Lord Sri Krishna, the husband of the Gopikas. I would not develop the proper mood. I could not develop the proper mood, and I dared to steal the cows and cowherd boys. Due to pride in my elevated position, I fear that I may again commit the same offense towards the Lord when he comes as Lord Gauranga during the next Yuga, Kali Yuga. Once Brahma was sitting alone thinking to himself, I do not see anyone else who can help me except Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will descend during the first part of Kali Yuga to bless the people of that Yuga. If I worship the Lord in Navadvip Dham, then the Lord will definitely fulfill my desire. Thinking like this, Brahma came to place known as Atopur in Navadvip Dham and worshipped Lord Gauranga very jubilantly. After the completion of a period of bhajana, the most merciful Lord Gaur Chandra appeared in front of four-headed Lord Brahma. The Lord appeared there in his most captivating form, attracting the living entities of the whole world. All 10 directions were dazzled by the effulgence of his transcendental body. The beauty of his body defeated the beauty of Kandarpa. He had a broad chest and long arms extending all the way down to his thighs. His whole body was decorated with many varieties of ornaments. His eyes extended up to his ears and his glances were very wonderful. His face was more beautiful than millions of moons and he had a slight smile on his face. There was no one who was attracted to him. There was no one who was not attracted to him. When Brahma saw the Lord of his life, he became very ecstatic and could not control himself. His whole body started to tremble. He began offering many prayers to Lord as his eyes filled with tears. Brahma fell at the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga. Seeing Brahma in this condition, Lord Gauranga, the son of Sachidevi, embraced him and spoke to him with very sweet words. O Brahma, I am very pleased with your worship of me. Now I have come to fulfill your desires. By hearing the sweet words of Lord, Brahma opened his eyes, fainted upon seeing Lord Gaurchandra in front of him, and fell on the ground at the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord placed his lotus feet on the head of Brahma, and thus Brahma gained transcendental knowledge and started to offer prayers to the Lord Brahma. Brahma said, I am very wretched. Due to my proud nature, I have forgotten your lotus feet and become engrossed in material pleasure. The scriptures describe myself, Indra, Mahadev, and all other devas as your servants. But we are not so fortunate to be your pure devotees. That is why sometimes, influenced by your illusory energy, I have passed the first parardha of my life. I am concerned about how to spend the second half of my lifespan. I am worried that I will become bahirmukha. I pray at your lotus feet to kindly accept me as your associate in your manifested pastime in this Kali Yuga when you will appear in Nadia along with your associate. Please bless me so that my pride of thinking of myself as Brahma will be removed and I will chant your glories, constantly staying in your association. For this, kindly give me a birth in a low family. I am very proud. Kindly punish me in such a way that people will hate me. Remove my terrible mentality and allow me to develop great attachment to your body name, holy name. As you have bewildered me in your previous pastime, please do not bewilder me in this pastime. I want constant association of your devotees and to meditate on you always. Lord Gaura was very happy to hear Brahma's prayer. He replied, let it be so. Let your desire be fulfilled. When I next manifest my pastime on earth, you will take birth in the house of Yavanas. At that time, you will be completely free from any pride. You will be a great devotee and known as Haridas. You will feel very fallen and humble. You will chant 300,000 holy names daily. And at the time of leaving your body, you will have my darshan. By the power of your sadhana, you will enter my eternal abode, Navadvip Dham, at the end of your life. Hearing this from Lord Brahma, offered obeisances again and again, he spoke very gently. O my Lord, you are independent and transcendental to everything. Who can understand your heart? You have exhibited many pastimes during your previous incarnation. I do not know which special pastimes you will exhibit when you appear in Nadia. It is no wonder that you will deliver all the living entities. This is my very simple task for you. Please tell me, I wish to hear whether you have any other special purpose for manifesting your pastimes in Nadia. Hearing the words of Brahma and looking at him, the Lord spoke from his heart, Antar, saying, O Brahma, please listen. I will tell you something from the inner court of my heart. But do not describe this fact anywhere in the scriptures. I will manifest myself accepting the mood of my devotee and relish the mellows of devotion. I will manifest the most secret sankirtana, giving Vraj Prema to all the devotees of all my other incarnations. Everyone will be a follower of Vraj Bhava in the mood of Madhurya Rasa. My heart is bound by the love of Sri Radhika, and I will descend accepting the mood and bodily color of Srimati Radharani. I will relish the same pleasure which is relished by Sri Radhika in serving me. From today, you are accepted as my disciple and you will serve me as Haridas. While saying this, the Lord's heart became filled with love for Radharani. His eyes became flooded with tears due to the desire to fulfill three of his unfulfilled desires of Krishna Leela. The Lord was merciful to Brahma and he informed him of these unfulfilled desires. Desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love and happiness, she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love, the Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with her emotions, appeared from the womb of Srimati Sachi Devi as the moon appeared from the ocean. The Lord again told Brahma that he would see his pastimes in Navadvip. After revealing his heart, which is Antar, in this way the Lord disappeared, Antardhan. Therefore people call this place Antardvipa. When Brahma saw the Lord disappear in front of him, he immediately fainted due to separation and fell to the ground crying, Hey Gauranga, Hey Deenbandhu, Bhaktavatsala, when will I attain the lotus feet? After crying for some days, Brahma went back to Brahmaloka to perform his duties. On this island, Lord Gauranga revealed the most confidential desire within his heart to Brahma. Therefore, it is known as Antardvip. Now we will read about Sri Mayapur. Lord Shiva said to Goddess Parvati, You are the Maya potency of Lord Sri Hari, who is expert in making impossible things possible. In the form of external Maya potency of the Lord, you hide the sun like Lord of Antardvip from the vision of materialistic people. Therefore, Yogpeeth is known as Mayapur, the city of Maya. On this earth planet, Mayapur is covered by Maya so that non-devotees or materialistic people cannot see the brilliant Lord. Dear Goddess, you are therefore famous as Proud Maya everywhere. Sri Mayapur is situated in the center of Antardvip. The circumference of Sri Mayapur measures 3.5 miles and the diameter measures just over 1 mile. In this Navadvip Bhavataranga, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur glorifies Mayapur as follows. To the southwest of Mayapur, the combined Ganga and Yamuna rivers praise their own good fortune as they flow in the form of serpent for rendering service to Lord Gaurahari, the jewel of the twice-born Brahmanas. Upon the bank of the Ganga are many different landing steps for bathing, ghats, and also numerous temples housing many deities, such as Prad Maya and Vriddha Shiva, as well as many groves and gardens. In Mayapur, there are countless homes of Brahmanas, wide avenues, courtyards, forests, and temples of Lord Shiva. Flowing in the southeast are the incessant currents of the Saraswati River. Upon her banks is the sacred area known as Ishodhyana, the Lord's garden. Why should the fallen rascals of Kali Yuga, bound up tightly by material illusion, have the privilege of seeing this eternally fully spiritual limitless treasures of the divine realm? Maya has therefore hidden the dham by means of the erosive, ever-changing nature of the three rivers, Ganga, Yamuna and Saraswati. Thus the eyes of materialists can see only a shadow of the real Mayapur. By the mercy of Sri Nityananda, the possessor of all spiritual powers, may that Mayapur be revealed unto my eyes, imbued with proper reverence. May I, this worthless fool, become truly fortunate to behold a vision of household pastimes of Sri Gaur Hari that eternally take place in this land. In the center of the island called Antardweep is the village of Mayapur, situated as the central pole of eight-petaled lotus. That transcendental abode glows with a fair yellow aura. It is resplendent with networks of effulgences, and it is supremely pure. May this place always shimmer before my eyes. Wooden grooves can be seen here and there. Among them stands a lake called Prithu Sarovar and many pastures for grazing the cows. Oh, how beautiful these places are to behold. There are many water canals, partitioned grain fields, and wide main roads lined with bakula, kadamba, and many other types of large trees. Yogpeet. The appearance place of Lord is known as Yogpeet and is situated at the very center of Mayapur. Yoga means connection. Yogpeet means the place where the Lord connects himself to earth or descends to this earth. This is the home of Jagannath Mishra. Another meaning of Yogpeet is meeting place. At this place, all the associates of the Lord meet with him to participate in his pastime. There are two reasons why Lord Gauranga was given the name Nimai by the neighborhood ladies. Firstly, because he took birth under a neem tree. The second reason was that prior to the birth of Mahaprabhu, many children of Sachi Mata were taken away by Yamraja. That means they had died. Neem tastes bitter. Thus the ladies concluded that if they named this boy Nimai, which is the same as neem, then Yamraj would not take the boy away, as he would be tasting bitter to him. Mataji, do we have time to read a few pages more or we want to stop here? Shamagori Mataji, Preeti Mataji.
Yes, Mataji, we can go until 9 o'clock.
Okay, thank you, Mataji. So next we come to Sri Srivas Angan, the home of Srivas Pandit. This place is also known as Khola Banga Danga, the place where Chand Kazi's men broke Amrudanga. At Srivas Angan, Gauranga and his associates started the Sankirtan movement. Mahaprabhu and Nityanand Prabhu would dance in ecstasy here. Every night for 1 year, Lord Chaitanya and his associates would perform ecstatic Sankirtan behind closed doors. When you enter the compound, walk to the right to enter the temple and marking the location where Srivas Thakur's house once stood. On the altar there are the deities of Radha Krishna on the left and Gaur Nitai on the right. In the center there is deity of Mahaprabhu in his Mahaprakash form. Srivas Thakur is holding an umbrella over him and Gadadhar Pandit is waving a chamara fan. Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Supreme Lord of the Universe. This deity commemorates the pastime when Lord Chaitanya showed his Mahaprakash form by exhibiting his different incarnations and fulfilling his devotees' desires. While doing so, he accepted worship for 21 hours, displaying his divine form to all his devotees in a manner just suitable for each of them. There is also a 10-inch Lord Narasimha Deity on the central altar. At Srivas Angan, Lord Chaitanya showed Nityanand Prabhu his six-armed form holding a bow and arrow, a flute, a water pot and a danda. Then we have Sri Advaita Bhavan. Outside the main temple at Srivas Angan, you can see two small temples about 30 meters away, both within the same compound. Then on your left is Sri Advaita Bhavan. The small temple marks the place where Sri Advaita lived and houses the deity of Advaita Acharya sitting at the feet of Lord Chaitanya. At this place, he offered prayers imploring the Lord to descend. He would sit on the bank of the Ganga, worship Shalagram Shilas and beg Krishna to appear. Sri Advaita Acharya taught his students Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam at this place. Vishwarupa, the elder brother of Vishwambhar, was one of his pupils. At this time, great Vaishnavas such as Srivas Pandit, Haridas Thakur, Chandrasekhar and Murari Gupta would come and hear Sri Advaita speak about Krishna. After Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas, Advaita Acharya moved back to Shantipur, where he was originally from. Then we have Sri Gadadhar Angan. The small temple to the right of Sri Advaita Bhavan is Sri Gadadhar Angan. This temple houses the deities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar was an incarnation of Srimati Radharani and a friend of Nimai since childhood. Sri Gadadhar Angan is about 10 meters east of Advaita Bhavan in the same compound as Srivas Angan. Then we come to Sri Chaitanya Math. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur established Sri Chaitanya Math in 1918. He called the area of his compound Vrajapatana, which means the place where Vrindavan is manifested. This is where the house of Chandrasekhar was located. His wife, Malti, the younger sister of Srimati Sachi Devi. They had no children of their own. When Jagatnath Mishra, the father of Lord Chaitanya, left this world, Chandrasekhar acted as the Lord's father. He accepted Lord Chaitanya as his son and took full responsibility for Sachi Mata. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would perform kirtan at his place. He also performed dramas with Advaita Prabhu, Srivas and other devotees in the house of Chandrasekhar. Nityanand played Purnamashi, Srivas Pandit played Narad Muni, Advaita Acharya acted as Sadashiv, Haridas Thakur took the role of a guard from Vaikuntha and Gadadhar Pandit played Lakshmi Devi. Then we have Brij Shiva, Shiva Doba. Near the road approaching Yogapitha from ISKCON temple, there is a culvert just after the Mayapur Polyclinic. When you cross the culvert, take the dirt road on the left. After a few meters is the place which used to be Vrij Shiva Ghata. It is believed that Shivlinga was found in this area, which is now worshipped behind the birth site of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This Shivling is called Vrij Shiva or Kshetrapal, the protector of the holy dham. One should worship the merciful Lord Shiva to obtain the blessings of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. During the time of Lord Chaitanya, a temple of Vrij Shiva existed at this place, but was later covered by Ganga. This is where Prad Maya energy eternally resides. There are two Shivlings at this small temple inside the Yogpeeth campus. One of the lingas was found near the culvert at Mayapur Polyclinic. That place is now known as Shivdoba. Then we have Mahaprabhu Ghat. 6 meters north of Vrij Shiva is Mahaprabhu Ghat on a dried up river bed of Ganga. At this place, Nimai would take bath daily and play in the water, performing many wonderful pastimes. It was also here that Ganga Devi performed austerities, desiring to see the Lord perform his pastimes in her water. Jagai and Madhai Ghat. Jagai and Madhai were born into a high-class Brahmana family in Navadvip. Their names were Jagannath and Madhvanand Raya, the sons of Raghunatha Raya. Due to bad association, they became meat-eaters, drunkards, debauchees, gamblers and murderers. Because they caused so much disturbance, respectable people avoided them completely. When Lord Chaitanya inaugurated the Sankirtan movement, he told Nityanand Prabhu and Haridas Thakur to go door to door and request whomever they met to chant the holy names of the Lord. Since Jagai and Madhai were the most fallen, the two preachers decided that were suitable candidates to receive the Lord's mercy. They approached Jagai and Madhai and asked them to chant the holy names of Krishna. Jagai and Madhai became enraged and chased Nityanand and Haridas, who had to run for their lives. The next day, Madhai struck Nityanand on the head with a piece of an earthen pot, making him bleed. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he immediately came to the spot, ready to punish both brothers. But when all merciful Gauranga saw Jagai's repentant behavior, he immediately embraced him. By seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face and being embraced by him, both of the sinful brothers were at once cleansed. Thus, they received initiation into the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra from the Lord and were delivered. This place is approximately 30 meters north of Mahaprabhu Ghat. Adya piha chinna ache chaitanya kripaya madhera ghata bali sarva loke gaya. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, the ruins of all that place still exist, which everyone refers to as Madhai Ghat. After the deliverance of Jagai and Madhai, Madhai met with Nityanand Prabhu in a solitary place and said, "O my Lord, you are present within the heart of each and every living entity. I have harmed many such living entities. If I knew all whom I have harmed, then I would beg forgiveness from them. But I do not know, as there have been so many. Please tell me all those people against whom I have committed so many offenses might become pleased with me. If you are merciful upon me, then kindly advise me what to do." Lord Nityanand replied, "Please listen, I will instruct you. Regularly go and clean the bathing ghat on the Ganga. When the people take bath there happily, then all of them will bless you. If you serve Ganga Devi, who eradicates all offenses, then what more good fortune is there for you than doing this service? You should also offer obeisances to everyone with great humility. If you do this, then all will forgive you for your offenses." After receiving this advice, Madhai circumambulated Lord Nityanand many times and then left. Everyone saw how Madhai was preparing the bathing ghat on Ganga very nicely while chanting the holy name of Sri Krishna and shedding tears. Madhai would show so much respect to anyone who came to Ganga and offered them his humble obeisances. He would beg for forgiveness, saying, "I have committed many offenses knowing and unknowingly unto you. Kindly excuse me for all my offenses and bless me." Everyone would cry when they saw the tears of Madhai and would remember Lord Govinda. Madhai began performing severe austerities there and became famous as Brahmachari. He stayed on the bank of Ganga, absorbed in her darshan, and with the help of Kodala, he worked hard repairing the ghata. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, the ruins of that place are still visible and known by all as Madhai Ghat. Then we have Barakona Ghat. At this place, Mahaprabhu studied and discussed scriptures. He also taught his students Sanskrit grammar here. During the time of Lord Chaitanya, Navadvip was India's eastern center for Sanskrit and Vedic studies. This ghat is said to have been originally constructed by Vishwakarma, the architect of the demigods. It was a most beautiful ghat with many gardens, flowering creepers, and chirping birds, creating a peaceful and transcendental atmosphere. There were 5 temples and 5 shivalings here during Lord Chaitanya's time. At this place, Lord Chaitanya defeated Keshav Kashmiri. Then we have Nagariya Ghat. Lord Chaitanya came here with his huge Sankirtan party on his way to defeat Chand Kazi. He would also bathe here on his way home from the school of Gangadas Pandit, under whom he studied for 2 years. Sometimes the Lord would perform water sports with his school friends at this place. Mother Sachi Devi first saw Lakshmi Priya at this ghat and mentally selected her to be the wife of Sri Gaurhari. Here Nimai would sometimes splash water on the Brahmanas while they were chanting their mantras. The Brahmanas would complain to Jagannath Mishra. Jagannath Mishra would then come to ghat with a stick in his hand to chastise Nimai, who would rush home around another route and smear dust and drops of ink on his body. His hair would be dried by the hot sun on the way home, making it appear that he had not been at ghat and that he had in fact been studying. Jagannath Mishra, on his return, would see no visible proof of his son's naughtiness and would not chastise him. Then we have Ganganagara. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur describes this town in Navadvip Bhav Tarang. To the west of here, on the bank of river Ganga, stands the town celebrated by the name of Ganga Nagar. There is the house of Ganga Das, where my Lord Gauranga took his young Brahmana friends and they carried out their studies. Ganga Nagar is located to the west of Pithu Kund, which is known as Balal Dighi. This kund or pond is no longer visible since it has been used as agricultural land. It is located between Sri Chaitanya Math, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Samadhi and Murari Gupta's house. Ganga Nagar is the place where Sri Bhagirath worshipped Ganga Devi and where he remained until Falguna Purnima to celebrate the appearance day of Lord Gauranga. Ganga Nagar was subsequently washed away by Ganga, which has since retreated to reveal a big tract of land, largely uninhabited. Recently, though, some people have started building houses there, and we hope that very soon Ganga Nagar will manifest again. The city of Ganga Nagar was established by King Bhagirath of Raghu dynasty. Many years ago, Maharaj Bhagirath pleased Ganga Devi by his austerities, and she agreed to descend on earth and deliver his ancestors, who were burnt to ashes by the wrath of Kapila Muni. Bhagirath was leading the way from the Himalayas down to the ocean by blowing his conch shell, and Ganga followed him, making her course towards the ocean. At one point, King Bhagirath turned back and saw that Ganga was no longer following him. The king searched for her and saw that she had stopped at Navadvip Dham. King Bhagirath became very worried because of his ancestors' ashes were still more than 100 kilometers away. If Ganga refused to flow any further, then how would his ancestors be delivered? King Bhagirath therefore started to perform tapasya to please Ganga Devi. Seeing his severe austerity, Ganga Devi was pleased and appeared in front of King. Bhagirath was very happy to see Mother Ganga personally and said to her, "My dear mother, you have stopped here. The ashes of my departed ancestors are lying more than 100 kilometers ahead. If you stop now, how will my forefathers be delivered?" Mother Ganga said, "My dear son, you should wait here without anxiety for some days. I have come to Navadvip Dham during the month of Magh, and I will stay here until the end of Falgun month. At that time, I will proceed and deliver your forefathers, Bhagirath. I am coming from the lotus feet of the Lord. This Navadvip Dham is the abode of my Lord, and I feel much satisfaction here. The appearance of my Lord is on Falgun Purnima day. On that day, I will follow a vrat here, then only I will follow you. Do not fear." Bhagirath, the best of Raghu dynasty, stayed in Ganga Nagar until Falgun Purnima. Anyone who observes vrat on Falgun Purnima and stays in Ganga Nagar to take bath in the Ganga and worship Gauranga Mahaprabhu will be delivered along with his forefathers. This place is very glorious because Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu has danced here many times. One who takes bath in Ganga here and worships Gauranga will cross over the ocean of material existence along with 1,000 of his ancestors and attain Golok Vrindavan after death, no matter where he dies. The house of Ganga Das and Sanjaya, two associates of Mahaprabhu, were situated in Ganga Nagar. Near Bharadwaj Tila, there were many primary schools besides, which is a dirt road that goes to fields. Devotees go on Panchakrosha Parikrama on this road. This land is to be believed to be the residence of Ganga Das Pandit, who had a school at which Sriman Mahaprabhu studied during his childhood from the age of 8 to 10. Next to Ganga Das Pandit's house was the house of Mukund Sanjaya and his brother. Sriman Mahaprabhu opened his school in this house. Yeah, so Mataji, I think we can stop here. Then tomorrow we have Bharadwaj Tila and Prithu Kunda, Sridhar Angan, and yeah, quite few things, Mataji, and then we can start another chapter.
Thank you, Mataji. That was very wonderful reading, and it was very fast. We are actually going fast for the parikrama.
Okay. So you know what, Mataji, I will try to be a little slow. I was just absorbed in reading. I will send the pictures of the paper.
It's not even, Mataji, that we don't have that much time, and also it's like, we don't have time for discussion. So that's why I'm saying.
Yeah, Mataji, but it's very nice. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving this opportunity. You know, at least, you know, we can take the parikrama virtually and, you know, pray sincerely that one day we can all go, Mataji. Thank you so much for giving this pleasure. Hare Krishna,
please,
Mataji.
Please pay our obeisances to all the Vaishnavas.
Jai Shri Mataji.